review of where we've been going on Sunday mornings. Not every Sunday is the same, and I really like that. And we would be missing something if we tried to replicate everything that happened in the past and not be open to the things that are present or in our future, wouldn't we? So I've been talking about Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. It's part of Paul's prayer to the believers at Colossae. And he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so as we've been chipping away at this, it's easy to divide that into four segments, because unto all pleasing, or that you might walk worthy of the Lord, part one, unto all pleasing, part two, being fruitful in every good work, part three, and part four, increasing in the knowledge of God. And if you take Paul's prayers that were so beautifully inspired by the Holy Spirit, you really see the Father's heart for his church, for his bride. These are challenging at times. We'd be thinking rather foolishly if we didn't find ourselves challenged at times. And we're looking at unto all pleasing, part two, and we're using Jesus kind of as an example to not only his disciples of the time, but his disciples now. And I would like to believe that we're still disciples. Disciples are disciplined followers of Christ. That's what disciple means, a disciplined follower. We're learning not to just live our lives to do whatever we want to do, but learning to fine-tune it to do what he wants us to do. And that can happen very subtly, or sometimes God can speak to you very in a way that suddenly you just stop everything else you're doing and you pay attention to what he's speaking to you. And I'm sure that many of you could testify to that. So today, we had left off with some scriptures in the Gospel of John, and I'd like to go back there because we were not finished from 2 weeks back. And I like doing these like this because we can just pick up from where we left off. I believe we left off with John chapter 10 and verse 30. And if not, we'll hit it now, but I believe we did. I and my Father are one. That's when you see Jesus speaking things like this. If you were a person such as I, who never had a Bible, never read a Bible, knew nothing about a Bible, and then I got saved, it was like, all I know is Jesus. But it's a great place to start. And I'm not alone in that. I know many of people that I knew that came out of the same background and lifestyle. I'm just one that's here. But I know many more. And this is what happened to them as well. They suddenly got saved. They became born again. And people suggested that they start reading the Gospel of John, because John explains what being born again is. He explains that if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So as you study Jesus' ministry, you see God. You see God in him. And also, John talks about the Holy Spirit. The other chapters and the other Gospels, not so much. The book of Acts talks a lot about the Holy Spirit, but John really brings those out in key areas. And so that's where we left last week. And now John 14:9 for today. John chapter 14 introduces Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He introduces himself in those three things. He's the way. If you're looking for the way, it's Jesus. If you're looking for the truth, it's Jesus. And if you're looking for life, it's Jesus. You can't get any plainer than that. And as he continued to talk to his disciples, verse 7 says, If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So Jesus is saying, I am him. If you've seen me, you've seen him. That's a really strong truth about Jesus. We're not a Jesus-only church. We believe in the Trinity. But if you don't make that distinction, then you miss a lot of the wonderful truths and blessings of following him. And then here's Philip. I like his disciples because they were just everyday people for the most part, even the ones that went fishing. They just needed a little help. Jesus was the fish detector. Now we buy them and you got them on board your fishing boat and you can tell where the channel is, right, Stuart, in the Connecticut River, and the fish finder. Well, I'll tell you, there's no better fish finder than Jesus himself. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. That'll satisfy our curiosity. Just show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you? And he's coming into 3 years now that he's been with them. And he's, from this point on in the Gospel of John, he begins to teach them and prepare them for why Jesus really came and the work of the cross. And that he introduced the Holy Spirit later in this chapter because he knew their concern would be, what are they going to be like when I'm gone? And surely that answered their question. He did. But he said, how long have you known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how say you, show us the Father? You can't read the Gospels and study Jesus' ministry and not see the Father. So let's read a little further. Verse 10. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And you could say that for yourself, because as a born-again believer, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. You see, every time that Jesus prayed for someone, every time that Jesus laid hands on someone, every time that Jesus cast a demonic spirit out of someone, Jesus always credited his Father, that he's the one that did the work. And we know it's the power of the Holy Spirit in him, but when he gave credit to the Father, he not only revealed that he was the Father incarnate, if you will, but also that he had the same authority, he had the same power, and what really upset the religious people was that he had the power to forgive sins. Religion says, no, only God could do that. But Jesus was God in an earth suit. I mean, Jackson would understand that. And now you and I have the power to forgive sins. No one ever had that power but God himself. And he's entrusted us with one of the greatest, greatest, greatest things that you could ever have is the power to forgive a person for their sins so that they could be now, so you could be free, number one, and number two, so that the Holy Spirit would have something to work with in that person's life that you forgave. It's not a license. It doesn't mean what someone did was okay. It wasn't okay. But we're not called to carry that. That's what forgiveness does. It sets us free and lets God work on the heart of the other person. Let's see what else he said. Oh my, I got a couple more here. It's God that does the work, same as with you and I now, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He doesn't come and go. You know, he only shows up on Tuesdays or when they put ghost food out for him. You know, like we put food out for Santa Claus, they put food out for the Holy Spirit. No, he's not like that. When he moved in, he stayed. In the Old Covenant, the Spirit would come upon people and anoint them for certain tasks, but he didn't indwell them. But David realized the value of what he had when he wrote, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Because you see, under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell a person. That's why nobody could get born again, yet the Spirit wasn't given. So in the New Covenant, it's very different. He doesn't go anywhere now. He abides. That word abide means to live in, to dwell in, to remain attached to. So he's a living part of our existence as a believer. And so, believe me not, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you have a hard time believing that Jesus is God or is empowered by God or indwelled by the Holy Spirit, believe the works that he did. The signs, the wonders, the miracles, the words that he taught from the time he was a little boy growing up in his father's shop, and how often he would go sit and debate scriptures in the synagogue or on the steps of the synagogue with the priests and with the scribes, because he was the Word. He knew the Word inside and out. He was the Word in flesh form. He was with the Father in the beginning, before God created anything, before he would spoke anything, he was with him. So he has a good working knowledge of who he is. And we've got to grow to that place too. We've got to come to that place where we know. We not only know who we are, but we need to know whose we are, and don't ever let that get like this. Because it doesn't take much to rock the boat once you get in that state, and you can fall overboard rather quickly. Sadly, we've all seen that happen to people, and thankfully, Jesus rights the boat. Actually, with him in it, it won't ever flip over. Let's see what else he says. Verily, verily, whenever you see those words together, somebody brought up the issue about truth this morning. And the world says there are no more absolute truths. And without that, that's why everything falls apart. Because there's no substance there. But Jesus said, verily, verily. And sometimes he says of a truth. But verily, verily means this is an absolute. You can't find a more pure word of truth than God's word. And now, and verily, verily, you could say surely, surely. Not surely, but surely. Surely, maybe she got saved and she'll be fine. But I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And it just keeps getting gooder. Can I use that word? Is it gooder okay? You got that? Yeah, you've been with me quite a few years, so you know I invent words as long as they light up with the word. But good is good, but gooder is better. He's going to the Father. But what do you think the disciples are thinking? They were probably okay with that until they got to that part. Where are you going? But that phrase about all the things that they witnessed him do, he said, those that believe on the Father, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these that you've seen me do, because I go to my Father. Did you ever wonder what the greater works are? I mean, Jesus did everything you could possibly do as far as the works. He is the works. The power that's available. And I look at it from the perspective, because the first few times I read these, I was kind of wondering. In my early faith, I saw a lady instantly healed of a leg that she had Oral Roberts pray for, and she didn't get healed. And Faith and I were little nobodies that just got saved and went to her house because her grandson asked us to go and pray for her. We showed up at her house, and she looked down at her, who are you? You know, it's kind of like the seven sons of Stevia. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And I said, your grandson said it was okay if we came to pray for you. And we hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. And so we said we came there to pray for your knee. She was in a walk, used a walker because she could no longer walk without it. And she got really huffy and said, well, I've had all the best pray for me, including Oral Roberts. And if God wanted me healed, I'd be healed. Would you like some ice cream? She wouldn't let us pray for her. And Faith and I had already plotted we were going to go get ice cream after we left her mobile home. She lived in a different mobile home park than we did. And so when she said that, we said, maybe there'll be another chance, because now we're going to break away from the religious stuff and have some ice cream. We did. And the opportunity to pray had not come up again, and neither did the conversation. She shut it down like my sister-in-law did. When we wanted to pray for her, she complained for months and months and months of a really hurting shoulder. Can we pray for you? No. Well, this lady was the same. No, you can't pray for me. So on the way, just as we opened the door to go out, I turned around and I looked at her one last time and I said, what have you got to lose? She just didn't have any answer. And she said, all right. And this joint that was all cut up by surgery, she had arthritis really badly raging through her. And we were well prepared, because her grandson, every time he would go there, she would always complain about my arthritis and my lame legs and all this thing. And number one, she kept it because she possessed it. She kept speaking it was hers, so she kept it, you know. So we just... no big deal about the prayer. Actually, we just spoke to the arthritis and commanded it to leave her body, and then we left. She was still sitting on the couch with her walker. And the next day, her grandson came running up. He worked with us on the golf course. Grandma's healed, grandma's healed. She threw her walker right out of the door of her trailer, and she's running around the trailer park, bouncing and skipping down through the trailer park, and no walker. A miracle had happened. And this is so exciting for Faith and I, because we were like babies in Christ, maybe just a few months. And so I thought that was rather miraculous. I didn't see anything. It happened after we left. The manifestation happened after we left. Well, it ended up her grandson and his wife got saved as a result of that. It was such a witness to them that she wasn't complaining anymore. She was bragging on the Lord that healed her. And so, glory. You know, for us, each time you've prayed for somebody and you see something happen that was rather miraculous, it might not have been something like that. It could have been something you said to somebody that turned their life around and pointed them back to Christ. Those are all works that Jesus would have done. He did. But then he said, in greater works than these that you've seen me do, shall you do, because I go to my Father. And so I always wondered, what was he talking about? And I don't know. I have 4 Bibles, and they're all gone now. I just wore them out. And some of the questions I had was one of those. And then I came to realize Jesus was here only in bodily form as one person. The greater work is he's been sown as a seed, if you will, and to countless multitudes of people all over the world and just about every country of the world, and they're all out there reproducing what he did all over the world. It started with him, then his disciples. They upset the whole known world at the time. And from there it multiplied. All the people that came to Christ through their witness. And down through the generations, what Jesus spoke has come to pass. The greater work is, there's more of us. We're doing the same thing. Our God is in us is doing the same thing. But it's just multiplied on a worldwide scale now, and not just in Israel. It's all over the world. And so each of you that have a part in the body of Christ, your hands are anointed. Your feet are anointed. We should have a beautiful feet contest sometime. We'll just all line up and look at our beautiful feet. Well, the word says that we have beautiful feet. Beautiful are the feet on the mountains of those who bring good news. Are you a person that brings good news? Everywhere you go, do you not bring some good news? You got beautiful feet. Don't worry. You don't have to show me. I was just messing with you. Yeah. So that's a very, very encouraging scripture. Now we have John. Oh, my goodness, we actually maxed out on John. That's good. All right. We're learning how to be all pleasing to the Lord, praying for the sick, casting out devils, the great commission that the Lord left for the body of Christ, the church. And when Paul prayed that for the church, the Colossian believers, they were small in numbers, but God is big. The next section, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews chapter 11 talks a lot about the subject of faith. You can't go to verse 6 yet without reading verse 1. Well, you might, but verse 1 is very, very much known. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's there. It has substance. Whatever you've released your faith for is there. But verse 6, this is part of our learning to live our lives. There's so many aspects of life for a believer, but learning to believe the word and learning to step out in faith and put it to the test, if you will. The word works, and it works every time. 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if we're talking about unto all pleasing, if we never exercise our faith, we have to have everything explained or see it before we believe it kind of thing, that's an area that we may need to tighten up in, because it's very difficult to receive things from the Lord if we don't have the faith to believe that he's God himself. Who are we asking? It's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We talked about diligent a few weeks ago. I remember, here's another verse where that word comes up again. It means to just persevere. Persevere in your faith. When you ask God, learn to include thanksgiving at the same time. And then just stand your ground. Actually, if you think it might be a while, because you may be thinking ahead of the Lord, because with God, the Bible says now faith is, so it's always present. Present not only in time, but present in its existence. It's the power to receive. Write down in a note. I know some of you journal, you have devotionals. Jesse keeps notes and things. Write down the day that somebody prayed for you for something and the day you started giving thanks, so that each day it goes by, it's a reminder to you, I don't have to ask again, because God doesn't forget. When you say, when in your prayer time, and thank God for what you asked for, and you've got the date to back it up, it's a wonderful way to be reminded about how how our faith connects with our Heavenly Father. Many, many things are very quick. Many, like the lady with the walker, that was pretty close to immediate. And sometimes it isn't always, and we've been studying that downstairs, the different manifestations of the Spirit. And Jesus prayed twice for a blind man. We read that, was it just last week, I think. So, but always include thanksgiving when you pray. That's really, really important, because it shows the Lord that you have faith to believe him for what you asked for, if you're willing to thank him before you see it, because that's what faith is. You believe you receive it even before you see it. It's substance. There's something there. It may be invisible to our natural eye, but it's there. There's a little booklet back there about that as well. Quantum faith. Good things to encourage you and to help you grow in those key areas, because we're going to need every full measure of faith that God has given us as we see times change around us. We don't want to let the times dictate our faith. I don't mean that, but we want our faith to dictate the quality of life we have, because that's what connects us to the Lord. And it's going to be very needful. So next week we'll look a little further. And this incorporates quite a good section for the full range of Christian living. Minimum standard, highest ambition. Good things still yet to come. So before we pray for... or whatever's going to happen later. Do any of you this morning need prayer?